Hello and thank you for joining me today. I'm Mindy McNeil, and our event of the summer at KUVO is coming up live at the Vineyards, and it's going to happen on Saturday, August 10th. And right now from Que Buena Suerte is Chef Ivan Ceballos. Ah, I got it. Okay. He's not only the chef, he's the executive chef. And he is here. He's going to be talking about a few of the dishes. I think this year it's going to be the duck barbacoa tacos. Is that correct?
Correct. That's what we're doing this year.
Okay. Wait a minute. Now, I've had duck, I think, twice. So tell me a little bit about duck first. So what's going on? Like, what is that dish? Is it a favorite or a little?
Well, Mexican food has now a really amazing push when it has come to be more appreciated than what it was before. Three of the things that I have set up as a chef has always been against, three of the things that I'm against with Mexican food is they believe that it could be fast, that it could be cheap, and that's easy. So it's not fast because we do a lot of sauces and a lot of stews. It's not easy because go ahead, try to make mole, please, and make it right.
Yeah.
And it's not cheap because most of the things that we use are imported. So now, fortunately, a lot of people who happens to be really famous have the ability to push more and more, not only Mexican, but Latin American cuisine. In reality, the restaurant is set up to be completely Mexican-Mexican,
mm-hmm.
but fortunately, we have people from all different places of Latin America and has allowed for it to have more of a fusion of techniques and more, and obviously using Mexican ingredients all the time, but it has allowed to more things to exist, like ceviche, we have it in the menu, of course, but that's truly from Peru, and we are using different techniques when it comes to Italian cuisine that is really similar to Mexican mm-hmm. cuisine in many instances, so much so that the same colors are on the flag. So,
and that's so funny, because for my 4th of July weekend, I went to Mexico, I went to Peru, and I went to Colombia.
And it's three of my favorite countries.
Oh, it was amazing. Honestly, like, we saw things, we did things, but what we did is we ate, and we ate well. But you just mentioned ceviche, and I think a lot of people think, you know, oh, it's a Mexican dish. And then you just mentioned Peru, so I think that that's a good thing. So what would be the difference, though, between Peruvian ceviche and Mexican ceviche? Or is there a difference?
There is.
Okay.
Well, ceviche, more than being a dish, is beyond being a dish. It's like, it's a technique. It's more like polenta,
okay.
because you're actually cooking something with acid. You're relying into the acid for the food to be cooked.
Oh.
And it's a method of preservation. The original idea of it really comes from the mountains in Peru, and there's a specific citrus, or kind of a citrus,
okay.
That it was used at the time. But then they discover vinegars, and that will become an escabeche, which is very typical in Spanish cuisine as well, Italian cuisine as well, like preserve things in vinegar. It was more of a method of preservation and like fireless cooking.
What do you mean fireless cooking? Is it just like on the grill, or what does that mean?
No, the ceviche you will...
Oh, because it's cold.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need fire. You will rely on the acid for it to cook the meat.
Okay.
In fact, in the Slow Food publication came out a really, really good article, tremendously well-written, about ceviche, and mm-hmm. he goes as deep into explaining the molecular composition and how it changes to become from an acid to a protein and then breaks down again into an acid.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the ceviche is completely different as we do it in Mexico. They use evaporated milk in the recipe. One of a really famous Peruvian chef, Gaston Acuria, he's huge into ceviche and has become like the national flag. The dish has become like the national flag, culinarily speaking.
Okay.
The difference is huge. Not only the citruses, maybe the availability of chilies and how pungent they could be. Perhaps what else would you use? In many places, in Mexico, we use tomato, onions, garlic, and cilantro in a lot of things. But I mean, cilantro doesn't grow the same in Peru, and it's really not eaten as much as we do. The pungency of the chilies is completely different. In Mexico, we tend to eat far more spicy than any other places in Latin America. The availability of fish, the availability of seafood, because in reality, you can make ceviche out of whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Shrimp, white fish. White fish is more conducive to do, but it will has the ability to take flavor.
Okay, they absorb the flavor
absorb
a lot.
Absorb the flavor. Usually, okay. white fish tends to be leaner. Any other fish, like salmon per se, that is colored, it always tends to be a little bit fatty.
Now, what about, could you do lobster as well, lobster ceviche, or is that kind of a stretch?
No, it will be a good shot, actually.
Okay.
It'll be expensive, though. But, but it'll be a good idea. Okay. But that's, again, my chef and restaurateur mind, you know, thinking about.
How long have you been there at the restaurant now?
3 years.
Three years. Okay, great. So, and since you're the executive chef, do you get to plan the menus, or do you work with a team of people, other chefs, and just this is what I want to put out for the day or for the week, or how do you determine that?
So my restaurant is the only standalone restaurant from a corporation.
Okay.
It's Mission Yogurt. And we are the only standalone out of restaurant operations they have.
Okay.
And I do have the freedom of, thankfully, I have the ability to decide. I usually will present the menu or enforce a menu.
Okay.
for the most part. And some of the stuff, what I have done, it's keep the names as you will read it in Spanish and then get a description in English. And we've been going back and forth with that idea. You know, how much can I still push the, get to recognize the dish for what it is rather than tell you is beef and hammony.
Yeah. Just okay, because I did see some things on there. I did see, well, you just talked about mole and also to pescado tikin ix.
Tikin chick.
Okay, so that you've got that. Enchiladas, obviously, you know, but lomo adoba?
Adobado.
Okay, so there's a variety, because I think sometimes when people think of a Mexican restaurant, they're like, okay, I'm going to just go in, I'm going to get my tacos, you know, or they want something else, you know what I'm saying, or they want like a chili relleno. So this is this more like from when you grew up, like some recipes from childhood, or how do you come up with the recipes that are presented?
So when the restaurant came together, I was invited by Dana Rodriguez to participate in the project from Working Class.
Okay.
Super Mega Bien. And we set up to really do traditional food.
All right.
We both grew up eating all sorts of the things that we have on the menu. And we have really particular stuff like something that's called molotes that comes from Oaxaca. And that was a full circle idea because here in Colorado and in other three places in the world, we happen to have something that is called lenticular clouds.
Okay.
And they either look like a lentil or they look like a cigar. They are shaped like that. It's just given because of the altitude of the mountains and how the wind will disperse them and then allow them to go back out. But they remain with the shape of it. They will happen in between May and September when there's like stormy weather. You'll get to see them. So a molote is, imagine an empanada once folded and then you completely roll it. So it looks like a cigar shape.
Okay, that's what the cigar, because I'm trying to imagine lentil to a cigar.
Right.
Okay.
And that's where the cigar shape comes into place. And it was just something that happens in Colorado.
Okay.
And it is a shape, it's masa work, like anything you can imagine with flour, we have made it with masa.
Okay.
We just, in our culture, dumplings are not something that is very typical.
Mm.
So that's the reason why we don't have specific pieces of pasta, but we do have different formations of food, which is, it's funny when you get to see it, when you get to say it out loud, or you're trying to explain your cuisine to someone who has never had it, because you will say, well, what's a taco? Well, a taco is a tortilla with some meat and some salsa, right? And then you fold it and eat it. So what's an enchilada? Well, let me tell you, an enchilada, it's a tortilla with meat inside that is rolled, but is showered with the... So we have the same idea of reutilization of product and different shape of the same product.
Okay.
Just as the Italian, just as the Japanese, just as even the French.
Okay.
Our cuisine is just different, and now the ability for it to exist, and how proud are we, each and every single one of us, from a region is just... It's just European culture passing to us. Everybody being so proud of whatever you can produce. And this is why we have so many different regions of cuisine. But getting back to your question, these are recipes of things that I grew up eating and things that I was exposed to, per se, el pescado tikin chic.
Okay.
Tikin chic is a technique of cooking as well.
Oh.
So you'll rub fish with achiote.
Okay.
And then fold it into banana leaf and throw it literally in the coals. Banana leaves are beautiful. They're full of silica, just like parchment paper or like a silica pad will do. But they as well provide some moisture so they won't burn. You throw it in the oven and it just comes out as a perfect piece of steaming fish that is pretty much cooked in its own sauce.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so good.
we serve it with a little tamal that is made out of spinach, roasted red peppers, and corn.
Okay.
It's a salad of fennel, radish, and shallots.
Mm.
And the sauce on top of it is something that is called siquilpac, which is pumpkin seed sauce.
Wow.
So we make it with pumpkin seeds and tomatillos. Everything goes into the grill.
Okay.
And then everything gets smashed in a molcajete, which is an Aztec blender.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And it's a mortar and pestle, but it's the ultimate Aztec blender. It usually looks like a piggy.
Okay.
The one that we have has, we bought it because it has three legs, and usually three-leg pigs are luck.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That is crazy. I didn't know that. So.
Yeah. And we also do maisoto, which was hominy in a creamy cheese sauce. And we use almonds, cashews, and pumpkin seeds.
Okay.
And that goes with short ribs. And they're braised in three chilies.
Oh.
And a little bit of cognac.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And they just go for hours. And for hours in a very, low and slow. It just breaks apart. It just falls apart.
So it's very tender.
It's really tender, and the sauce is spicy. We also top it with a small salad of radish and fennel.
Okay.
So it has just all these different textures and layers of flavor.
Wow. Now the duck. Okay. So the
duck that we're doing.
Yeah. So what's going to be inside this taco? Is it just the salsa and the duck, or do you guys slow roast this, or?
So what we're gonna do is then again mix techniques, and we're. So when you do something comfy, it will be cooked in its own fat.
Okay.
But that's what we're going to do. What I'm actually having in the kitchen going on right now, it's duck fat that is going really, really in a very low temperature.
Okay.
And it has a bunch of different chilies in it,
which
will be the barbacoa flavoring.
Okay.
After that, when I get the chilies out, blend them along with the fat, and then cook the duck into that fat.
Oh my gosh.
So it has the flavor of the chilies from the beginning of the process of the fat. The fat will be already flavored.
Okay.
And then we'll take on the flavor. The chilies will take on to the duck.
That sounds amazing. So if you want to partake in that, and it sounds wonderful, come down to Live at the Vineyards on Saturday, August 10th. If you want tickets, they are available at kuvo.org. And if you are listening, Chef Yvonne, can you tell me, or tell our listeners actually, a good website address, a regular address, and telephone number to go down to Cape Buena Suerte?
So the website will be qvsuerte.com.
Okay.
And our phone number is 720-642-7322.
Great. And you all are at 1518 Pearl Street, Denver, 80210?
South Pearl Street.
1518 South Pearl Street.
Correct.
So great. So if we want some of those great yummies that you were just mentioning, that's the place to go. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
The goose came fast as he could move. Honk, honk, honk. He joined the duck and struck a groove. Honk, honk. The bossa nova had him dancing the new thing.